When the Senate changes in July, the Palmer United Party will have three senators and an agreement with one more. Those four votes will be crucial in budget negotiations. Clive Palmer is the member for the Queensland seat of Fairfax and the head of the Palmer United Party. Well, Clive Palmer, do you believe that the Commonwealth's finances are in need of repair?
Well, Australia's debt is 12% of its GDP. The OECD average is, for advanced economies, 73% of GDP.
And that's bad.
Well, I don't know. That means that we're the third lowest debt nation in the OECD.
And we should try and keep it there.
Third best. And we've already got a AAA credit rating. And there's only 13 countries in the world that have got a AAA credit rating. I think all the other countries of the world would be envious of that position.
Would you like Australia's debt to GDP ratio to rise to 70%?
I think we have to. You know, if you look at historically, it goes up and down and moves within a particular band. And certainly it's never been higher than 20%. And that's well below any other country.
Well, without repair of the budget, will rise and continue to rise. So at what point do you think it should be fixed? How many deficits should Australia run in a row?
Well, first of all, the United States has only had 12 surpluses in 50 years. They're the preeminent power on the
France
planet.
France has run deficits since 1974, and all those nations are actually in huge financial strife at the moment. So
well,
should Australia
that.
Try to keep this position or improve it?
No, they say that, but I don't think that's true. You know, if we look at our unemployment rate in Australia, of course, we're around 5%, and the OECD average is 8%. If we look at the amount of public spending that we spend on public expenditure, we're about half of what's spent in other countries. So already we're on a very tight budget. I think really what you've got to look at is stimulating the economy, creating more growth.
And how would you do that?
Well, I'd do that personally if I was Prime Minister by moving the reporting date for provisional tax from the start of the year and stopping companies having to pay their tax before they made the profit to the end of the year. Now, the Ford estimate said that would raise $70 billion be released into the economy.
In 1 year?
Once off. Yeah, and every time it circulates, you get 10% GST. So if it circulates, say, four times a year, you get $28 billion a hit to the budget. Now, that's similar to what President...
It is a one-trick pony. If what you said was true, it is a one-trick pony. You can only move the date once.
That's right, and you need ones to restructure the economy and to stimulate things. Look what President Obama's done in the United States. He's no fool. He's injected $85 billion a month into the U.S. economy, created enormous growth, and made America much more competitive.
And the United States will never pay off its debt in its lifetime, in his lifetime.
But it'll be the preeminent economic power in the world. And
it
have
won't
the best
be by export. 2020 when China will pass it.
Well, I don't know. You know, the situation, China's not in the OECD, so we can only look about comparative countries, and we don't have a transparent system in China to compare us with. But look, none of these things are excuses for people who have paid their taxes over 50 years to find themselves abandoned by the government in the twilight of their life. And these people have made their contribution to this country. We must stand for more than money. You know, the gross domestic product measures a lot of things. It measures the cost of ambulances that take the carnage from our road, cost of our prisons, our armies, our cost of our courts, cost of locks to lock people up. But it doesn't measure the smile on a child's face in the morning, the integrity of our marriage, the uncorruptibility of our public officials. It doesn't measure any of the things that make life worth living. So our country, our Commonwealth, is much more than an economic formula.
It certainly is, but as you know, without money you can't do the things that you want to do, and if you are spending money now that you don't have, then you're going to have to pay for it sometime, and you're going to have to pay for it with interest. And that will be paid for by a future generation. Isn't that fair?
That's just propaganda.
That's absolutely true.
No,
the smiles on the
true.
Faces of those children are going to be working for a lot longer,
well,
and
well,
the age population
we've
is
got to ask
getting
you,
larger.
We've got to ask you, our gross domestic product is about $1.5 trillion a year. Our debt at the moment is probably around about $300 billion. So that's
rising to $600 billion
well,
if nothing's done.
Let me finish. That's about 2 months of our activity. Is your personal debts less than 2 months of your activity? That's what we are as a nation. You know, we've got debts which are less than 1 year of our total activity. I mean, that's not difficult.
Big difference between the size of the economy and the government's finances, though, as you would know.
Well, not really. The government can manipulate the economy any way it wants to.
It can't get all that money into its coffers.
But it doesn't need to lie. To say we've got a debt crisis means that the world's got a debt crisis much worse than ours.
All right, just looking at the pension age, when it was set at 65, and that was in 1908. People then, on average, men lived to 55 years of age. What's wrong with shifting it now that the population lives a lot longer?
Well, as you know, Chris, I've said that we should link the parliamentary superannuation to the pension age. And what you'd find if that happened, it would come down to about 49. And you find there's a lot of self-interest in this place. They don't really care about the people. They only care about themselves. They don't mind other people getting their super 1 hour before they're going to die when they're 70, as long as you don't touch their super.
Don't you think that there should be a conversation about the retirement incomes of Australia, and that can include parliamentary incomes as well, which, by the way, now, with super, are in line with community standards?
Well, they're not really. I mean, we're in a position where we can say to average Australians that you get the pension when you're 70, and we get our super when we're a lot younger.
So will you guarantee that during the entire budget debate that you'll be in the chamber listening acutely, because of course you'll have a big say in what happens in the Senate after it changes come July?
No, I'll be listening to it on ABC and talking and doing interviews with people like you, because the public have got a right to know. And I stand as the last sentry of the gate, as a sole lone warrior against this pension.
The sentry of the gate who was elected Parliament, don't you think you should be in there and voting?
No, I can only speak once every 14 days. I've only got one vote. And, I don't want to sit there while there's 13 gag motions. I want to be out there getting the resistance going to this budget so that Australians know that what's really happening. Talking on the radio, being on television, dealing with the people. That's my job.
You seem to have a fair low opinion of the Parliament to which you were elected.
I have a low opinion to the conduct of politicians in this country who don't look at things honestly and fairly, but tend to lie to the people. That's who I've got a low opinion of, and sitting with them in the chamber doesn't improve my lifestyle.
Clive Palmer.